Caribbean Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, the Right Honorable Hubert A. Ingram Chambers, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call at some point during the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you could WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. BTC Flow channel 612. It's been a while. It's been a while since I was with you live on the show. As you know, I was away with a group of young people trying to continue their training development in leadership. We were in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank God all went well. They all seemed to have benefited, and we're back. I want to thank Brother Earl Thompson for sitting in for me for a couple of days, as he tends to do, and for ably doing so, and Mr. Hubert Edwards for also doing so. They are the great guys that I can call upon and do a great job sitting in, and I am just thankful to them. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. Wow, where do we start? So much going on. So much going on, both at home and abroad. A lot going on. Well, let me start with abroad. I have to start with abroad. So President Joe Biden made the decision that he will not seek re-election to the presidency of the United States of America. And in indicating that, endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris for the candidacy for President of the United States of America. Of course, this is a phenomenally significant change of circumstances in the American presidential race, because one, you have a sitting president who is not going to run for election. That is not usual, not normal. It's almost expected that that person who is president will be the presumptuous candidate for their party's election to the presidency. And for Joe Biden to have decided not to do that, it's a big deal. I'm sure a huge decision for him, a very difficult decision for him, but he made the decision nonetheless. Of course, this is following his performance during the last debate with Mr. Trump, and the very difficult, disappointing performance he had there. I think even subsequent interviews with him did not vindicate him insofar as that performance is concerned. And so mounting calls for his resignation within his own party. well, not his resignation, but his determination to drop out of the race was brewing. And he finally did. Now, you have not just a African-American now being endorsed for the presidency. That's not new or historic in America, because Barack Obama was a African-American who was, in fact, elected to the presidency. But first of all, a woman? This is not the first time a woman has run for president of the United States of America either. It's not even the first time a African-American woman has run for president before. This is the first time a major party in the United States of America may have a female, and at that a black African-American female, to run for president. So that's a huge deal, and it also has implications for the dynamics of the race. Whether you think it's positive or negative, I'm not going there with you. Depends on what you think. But it does present the possibility of changing the trajectory. In case you don't know, Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman to run for president of the United States of America. Shirley Chisholm. So insofar as history is concerned, this will not be the first time for that. I think this will make things very interesting, because Kamala Harris obviously is a significant figure in the politics of America. You don't become the vice president of the United States of America if you're not. But she, whether in her person, she brings the wherewithal to garner sufficient votes against a strong Trump candidacy. You might not like it, but Donald Trump is a strong candidate for the United States president. You say, well, what's the reason? I don't know what all the reasons are, but he is. He was polling neck and neck with Donald Trump. Now, polls did show that Kamala Harris actually polls better against him than Biden did. But he is a formidable candidate. And so does she have the wherewithal to garner sufficient independent female black votes to make up that coalition that Biden was able to garner in order to beat Trump in the first place? Well, I think there's a strong possibility she would do so better this time than Mr. Biden did. Would have done, but whether it's enough, that's something to be seen. Do we have a call on the line? Because all these lines are flashing. I don't know what I did or didn't do, but they're all flashing. Yeah, I'm saying a lot of these lines, a lot of things, these red things are showing up. Pull the plug out. Pull the plug out. All right. Doing the same thing. which line is it? Oh, okay, good. Okay. Hello? Oh, okay. Yeah, so there are many things, significant historic things surrounding this decision of Mr. Biden's and now the prospect of Kamala Harris being the presidential candidate, it's not a foregone conclusion, by the way. She still has to, still gain sufficient delegate support at the U.S. Convention, the Democratic Convention, to do so. You know, many times when we are talking about political parties convention in the Bahamas, there are some people who call and say, oh, we have only these few people at these conventions that are choosing our people and not abroad, people in the country. Well, you cannot be the Democratic or Republican presidential candidate without the delegates at the convention voting you in. You can't. So it's almost a similar process. Not the same, but a similar process. Is this likely to provide a big boost to the Democratic prospects? I can tell you one thing. It seems like lots of folks are coming on board, endorsing Kamala Harris, sponsors doing so, delegates pledging their, which number? Yeah, still doing the same thing on my side, sorry. delegates pledging their support, you know, but this election for me, I think, because the base, the Republican and the Democratic base, for the most part, are set, even though I think the Republican base seemed a little bit more motivated than the Democratic base to me. There were some people who were on the Democratic side who seemed very much uneasy with Joe Biden. There was not the assurance that young people in the numbers that they had would support him, or independents would do so. And there were some Democrats were my... Can I get you mad with me? Democrats remind me of F&Ms. Yeah. F&Ms can be flaky when they get upset, right? And they will throw a vote out. They will not vote. They will talk about their people. And Democrats like that. And they're skittish. Democrats like PLPs act like they ain't never scared. That's how they act. I'm not saying they aren't ever scared, but they act that way. F&Ms act like they always scared, notwithstanding their record of winning elections, which has been impressive, actually, if you look at the last seven elections. It's been impressive. But notwithstanding their track record, F&Ms tend to be and seem very skittish, believing that they're always on the brink of losing an election. That's how Democrats are to me. So Democrats were panicking. Will they be more confident, more assured with a Kamala Harris candidacy or whoever else? Does she have to find a vice presidential nominee who can strengthen her ticket if she is in fact the candidate? So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. Be interesting for sure. I know some of you might be trying to get through the line, so we have a little bit challenge at the moment. We'll get that sorted out for you, and then you can weigh in. Ian, how you feel about this? Don't tell me it don't matter to you. It does matter what happens in America. It does matter who is president of the United States of America. It has huge implications for our relations, has huge implications for our interactions with America. Depending on the policies that are embraced, it can have huge implications. Caribbean souls celebrate the fact that Kamala Harris is of Jamaican descent, Caribbean descent, and that might mean something for our connection to that place going forward, et cetera. So it could have implications, right? What do you think? Stack says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What an interesting time in U.S. politics, notwithstanding some polls showing Harris had a better chance than Biden. I believe that Biden would have had a better chance against Trump. Yes, he's old, but he's a white man, which counts for a whole lot in the U.S. You know, I keep hearing people say that Biden is old, and that was true. Trump is also old, okay? It wasn't merely that he was old, and he has been the oldest president of the United States of America by far, 81. I think the closest to him might have been 70, but Ronald Reagan was 77. But I think it was not just that he was demonstrating or showing diminished mental and physical capacity. That's really what it was. Because if you look at Warren Buffett, I believe is 80-something years old. Warren Buffett, if you catch him in an interview, he's dynamic. He's, you know, strong. He seems to be able to say things with clarity. And so that's true for many elderly people. My mother's 80-something years old. If you talk to my mother today, listen, man, you want to talk politics? She's shine and shine and shine. Right? Maybe physically she isn't as vibrant as she used to be at all, but it's not just that he's old. It was that he was showing a level of diminished capacity that I think that was causing people enormous concern. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang, you ain't missed nothing. When you was gone, we only had killing and more killing, but your boy caught a number. But other than that, the same old thing. Says, depends on who wins the U.S. election, which candidate you think we will be as behemoths benefit most. You really want me to answer that? I ain't gonna answer today, man. Not today. I am not interested in that argument today. This text says, Mr. Lang, welcome back. Would you agree we need Fox News back because MSNBC has proven to be just a non-credible? Not even close. Not even close. We need Fox News back. Where did Fox News go away somewhere? Frankly, I think that both networks are lean. Fox News leans right, hard right. MSNBC leans left, hard left. But if you ask me who's more credible in terms of trying to more objectively weigh the issues and not operate an alternative reality, I think MSNBC is that, not Fox. Fox News frightens me, to be quite honest with you, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. Fox News frightens me. Okay, I don't agree with everything MSNBC says or does, but I watch MSNBC over Fox News. I don't watch Fox because I find it very difficult, extremely difficult. The dishonesty, the blatant alternative reality, I can't deal with it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I catch MSNBC, you know, trying to, and their spin and whatever, but I do not believe them to be less credible in terms of presenting objective reality, notwithstanding their hard-leaning right, left as Fox News. So I'm not your fellow. I'm sorry. Texas, I noticed a new ad on the show. Usually when we hear ads, something like, sponsored by ABC Hospital. ABC Hospital comes on the show. Will a representative from Hubert A. Ingram Chambers be coming on? Okay, anytime, not to my knowledge. And to be honest with you, I did not know. I did not know until I heard it just now that it was on there. All right? For 2 weeks? Well, I didn't hear it. I did not hear. Well. So I don't think so. I'd be happy. Huh? For the book, right? That's right, for the book. The book. But I tried to get Mr. Ingram on a couple of times to talk, but that man is so rich. You see the man write 3 volumes of very voluminous material? Oh, you could talk to him for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months and not run out of stuff to talk to him about. But I have no plans, and he has not indicated to me any that he was coming on. I hope. I would love to have him. This text and Me Too, bro. That's Me Too for what? Was that for Fox? For Fox? This text says, hi, Shivago. Love the show and always appreciate your insight on what's happening locally, nationally, internationally. But I have to say this. I tried your mom's coconut rum and my crab and rice this weekend, and it was buzzing. Was it good? I don't know what that means. Was it good? Was it good? That's what you have to tell me. Was it good? Oh, say MSNBC and never Fox. Yeah, I'm only saying I know people who love Fox. I know people who are dedicated to Fox. I was just telling you my piece of the little thing. Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a break, our first break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. A lot to talk about. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Join us in helping to support the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. When doing your shopping at Janae's Uniform Center, just drop your coins or more in the special donation box.
You can also help by donating vitamins, snacks, medicines, books, and more.
Visit the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel directly, or you can donate online at bceh242.org or 0124 or 807-6155.
And thank you for helping us.
The Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. Together, we can make a difference.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter One. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
The Guardian Media Group has your ticket to Paris.
On your marks, get set.
Join the Guardian Media Group, Star 106, Hit 6.9, and Hot 91 FM, and follow Team Bahamas from Paradise to Paris. Live comprehensive updates on Team Bahamas every day during the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are your ticket to Paris. Nassau Guardian Sports Editor Sheldon Longley will be trackside, bringing you closest to our athletes in their quest for gold. From Paradise to Paris. The 2024 Summer Olympics, live updates, brought to you by gold sponsors, the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Jimmy Wines and Spirits, distributors of Refreshing Sands Beer, silver sponsor Executive Motors, and the bronze sponsors Hertz Rent-A-Car, Nagico Insurance, Bay Street Garage, Nassau Motors, your Chevy and Honda dealers, and New Life Natural. Let the games begin.
That was a fantastic last leg by Ramon Miller of the Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. By the way, folk, I understand that the Prime Minister is abroad having surgery for a sciatica issue. Listen to me. Sciatica problems, they do not joke. They do not listen. When people, tell you they are in pain. Sometimes it's paralyzing pain from sciatica. So we wish the Prime Minister well. We trust and hope that all goes well for him to come and return to his duties with some comfort and ease following upon his surgery. I've been under the knife, and it ain't no easy thing to do. But God is good. All right. So let's see. We have some text here. Says, call him. He has two new books. I know he has two new books. This text said, but it was Fox News who told us the truth about Biden. We don't have Fox News on basic cable. It was Fox News who told you the truth about Biden. First of all, I heard some of y'all calling Dwight Show with this notion that Fox News told you the truth about Biden. What truth about Biden, right? Multiple people were making observations about Biden's age, whether it was MSNBC, Fox News, or others. Fox News took the liberty of doing what almost all partisan political entities do, is trying to imply things about people, right? Without any proof, without any evidence. What is it that we know about Biden? Say Fox News told us the truth about. What do you know? What is true about Biden? That he that age has caught up to him, and that he now looks a little more feeble, and that his mental acuity is not as strong as it used to be. What's the truth we know? What do you know? Does he have a disease you know of? What is it that you know? What did Fox News say? Tell me. Don't tell me no vagaries. Tell me what Fox News told you the truth about. Tell me, what did they tell you? What was the truth that you know? Let me tell you something. I don't do it. Says, hi, Mr. Lang, welcome back. I'm pulling for Mr. Trump. I think he's a good person. He didn't do anything wrong that no other president did. If anything, I think he was one of the best presidents. Hey, more power to you, my friend. More power to you. I 100% entirely disagree, but more power to you. Says, note, audio a little low. Not sure if it's your voice in and out. The audio's a little out. No, you can't. You better check your device. You need to. I am actually in the studio at Guardian Radio. Okay? So please check your device. I don't know. You're saying it was like that before? I don't know. Maybe. But I'm in the studio now. I'm not even home. Not even remote. Right? Okay. It says, I'm just pulling in, but I'm pulling for Trump also. Good luck with that, man. Y'all keep pulling. Keep pulling. Keep pulling. Say, for that last caller supporting Trump, say, hello, police. Okay. So while I was away, I did hear some of the discussions around the marijuana bill, the bill to legalize marijuana. I had lots of questions. I had lots and lots of questions about our effort here. First of all, I would like to know, what is the nuisance that the government is seeking to address with this effort to legalize marijuana? Is this a, look at what the world is doing, so we're going to do that? Or is it a, well, you have a lot of people calling for it now, and then how much is a lot of people? Or is it some study-based approach that we are taking? Let me tell you why I say so. So right now, marijuana is illegal. any possession or use of it and other hemp-related is illegal. That's true or not true? Right? So it's illegal. We are now deciding that, well, listen, whereas if you got caught with any amount of marijuana before, you could be charged with a crime and you could end up with a record. Now, if you have 30 ounces or less, that's right? 30 ounces or less, you end up with a fine. But under certain circumstances, marijuana could be used for medical purposes. So I'm wondering, this is my question. Why are you fining people for holding any amount of marijuana over 30 ounces? Why? Why are you fining them? What does a fine mean? A fine means that you violated the law, therefore did something wrong, and you are now being fined, not imprisoned, but fined, not prosecuted, but fined for that possession. Why though? Why? What's the difference between holding 30 ounces of marijuana and 30 ounces plus 30.1 ounces of marijuana? What's the difference? Like, what is it that said 30 ounces in your possession is okay, but you still get fined because it's not okay, and 30.1 ounces is not okay? What's the rationale there? What's the reasoning there? What is it that we know about marijuana that tells us that possessing it, period, should contract a fine, and possessing it for more than 30 ounces, or for more than 30 ounces of it, should carry with it a criminal penalty? What is it that we know about marijuana? What scientific information have we that says it can be now used for medical purposes? And is that scientific information saying that it shouldn't be used for recreational purposes? If we could use the scientific data to justify its medical use, meaning it has healing possibilities, what is the data saying about recreational use? And why are we going this route? Like, why are we taking a position that, you know what, it's okay, but it's not okay? Why are we doing that? So we're going to have folks running around going, listen, bro, wait that for me. See if that 30 ounces for me, because you know I don't want the man pick me up. I only want to get a fine. I don't want them prosecuting me for committing a crime. So give me 30 ounces now, and I come back to you. I can carry my 30 ounce home. I'll come back to you for another 30 ounce, because if they catch me, I don't have more than 30 ounce. I just have the 30 ounce. Mind you, by the time I get home, I might have a pound. Like, what is that about? What is there about marijuana that makes it still, notwithstanding all that we claim to know, put in this suspicious category that alcohol is not put in? How much alcohol could you travel with and not be prosecuted and not be? How much alcohol could I have and still be legal? I'm not talking about in my system. I'm talking about carrying. 2 bottles? 2 liters? So if I carry in 3 liters, they could hold me and prosecute me? They'd take it away? Really? So if I'm transporting a case, 3 cases of beer or liquor to my house for a party, and they catch me, they could take that away? I have to put it in what? In cargo. Wow, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago like yours. We can be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Enjoy a buttery croissant with your choice of ham, sausage, or bacon along with eggs, red onions, and a tropical sauce. The new Independence Croissant, which comes with BK's classic hash browns and your choice of tea, coffee, or orange juice. Don't miss out on the new Independence Croissant combo, available all month long at Burger King Nassau. Happy Independence, Bahamas.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
She hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang! She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever went. And you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us. Let me correct something for you all, please. It's not an ounce of marijuana. It's a gram of marijuana. A gram. If you get caught with 30 grams, or more than 30 grams, then you have an issue of possible, not just fine, but imprisonment, right? If you get caught with less than 30 grams, then you just get a fine. The principle that I'm trying to invoke doesn't change, which is this. Why? Is marijuana bad for us? That's the question. Is marijuana bad for us? Somebody, can somebody answer that question for me, please? Like, I mean, but answer it scientifically. Don't call me and tell me, but you know, bro, I'm saying I cannot imagine that you would prescribe marijuana to anybody, saving and except that there is scientific information supporting the medicinal benefits of marijuana. I cannot imagine that. And I'm sorry, whoever you are, I do not want to hear that we don't have enough research on the possible consequences of marijuana use. Therefore, we have to be cautious about it, because there's lots of research on marijuana use. It's been around for a long time. It's been used for a long time. How in the world do we know that children, what is it, under 18 years of age, whose brains are still developing, if they engage in significant marijuana smoking and the like, that they can end up having some brain development, etc. research? How is it that we know that there is this particular element of the marijuana, the hemp, is it CDB or CBD or something like that, that you can extract, and then the other part of it, which you end up smoking, that this one will be okay, but that one, we know that from research. I don't want to hear we don't have enough research. That's nonsense talk to me. To me, it's nonsense talk. Right? What I'm trying to figure out is marijuana okay or bad, as is alcohol okay or bad? That's what I'd love somebody to help me. I've looked. I've seen the arguments. The only argument that I have seen about alcohol versus marijuana is that we don't know enough about the side effects of long-term marijuana use like we know about alcohol. I've heard that. I do not believe it from all the body of information I see out there in Google Scholar and other scholarly environments where you can go. Because today, the way the government is approaching the marijuana use, I still have to believe marijuana is bad. But it can't be that bad, because, okay, if you have 30 grams, it's okay. 30 grams, it's okay. So what does that mean? So let's say you find me with 30 grams every day. So I have 30 grams every day. I smoke 30 grams every day for 30 days. If you catch me, I take the fine. Do you not believe 30 grams is bad? Do you believe that 30 grams? You have to believe 30 grams is bad if you're fining me for 30 grams. Is running a red light bad? Is running a red light bad? It has to, you get a red light. Why? Because you say it's dangerous to do so. Well, you fine people for things that means they break the law because you think it's bad. Why do you fine people? Because it's bad. But we are saying now, well, it's bad, but it's not bad enough for me to jail you for 30 grams. I could jail you for 30.1 grams, but I ain't jail you for 30 grams. Is it bad or is it not bad? Is marijuana smoking bad or not bad? For the people who want to answer my question about is marijuana smoking bad or not bad, is alcohol drinking bad or not bad? Anyone, can you help me with that, please? Anyone out there, you've been learning, studying this stuff, can you help me with that, please? Is alcohol consumption bad or not bad? Does the law say if you drink alcohol at a certain level and your blood level gets a certain amount, you get intoxicated. If you are caught, you could be prosecuted for that, right? That's drunken driving. Does the law say that you could be prosecuted for driving under the influence of marijuana? Do you know anyone? Do you know of a prevalence of physical abuse that was tied to marijuana use, like we know of physical abuse tied to alcoholism? I'm asking. This text says Dr. Pinto was just on the morning show on Thursday or Friday. He said no smoking is good. He said some people will smoke all their life and live to 100. But why take... We know that most people bandying for legalization aren't interested in any health concern. They want relaxation and they will not buy the THC oil to rub themselves down at night. They will smoke. Yes, abuse of alcohol is bad. And like marijuana, especially on underage brain. Yes, I don't smoke. I have no intention of smoking. I'm not even advocating for the legalization of marijuana. I'm not, right? And so I don't drink. And so I'm not advocating for that either. But to say no smoking is good, well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. No eating deep-fried food is good. Right? No eating bunch of salty food is good. There's lots of things that not doing it is good. But they are allowable. You don't get your freedom taken for doing them. So things not being good can't be an issue in the country, because there are lots of things that are not good for us that we are not being prosecuted or fined for. Right? So I'm not disagreeing with Dr. Pinto, but, you know, I'm just asking, in the 21st century, why are we taking the approach to marijuana that, well, if you have 30 grams, you get a fine. If you have 30.1 plus grams, you get prosecuted for a crime. And under no circumstances can you do this. And when you have the medical use, it has to be, you're listening to Sea Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send me know that you know.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us on 242-300-5720 from the Family Islands. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me read some of your text here. This text says, say fine, bus. Do you know anything that's not bad in excess? Anything at all? Anything you know that's not bad in excess, except probably love? Anything you could consume. Anything is bad in excess. You have too much too much sugar, too much honey, too much lime. Everything is bad in excess. It says marijuana, if laced, is tied to physical abuse. But if laced, but lacing is something someone could do to your alcohol, to your food, to anything. So why tie? Why is marijuana getting tagged with that? You lace with these smokeless cigarettes that they have. So I don't understand why that's a big issue for marijuana. Say allegedly causes erosion of the brain cells. No, it doesn't. Marijuana does not allegedly cause erosion of brain cells. In young people, it can stunt the development of brain cells. That's in young people. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang.
Hi. Hey, how you doing?
How are you, sir?
Good, man.
You know that announcement yesterday that knock all the air out of that assassination attempt.
Everything was surrounded around
that assassination attempt and the Republican convention thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And that has cycles every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't hear nothing about it anymore other than the Secret Service being called before Congress for questions.
So you think that was a strategic announcement, eh?
It was. I believe it was strategic. I like it. I like it.
I got you, brother.
Yeah, because
I did take note of that myself. I ain't gonna lie, I did.
Yeah, yeah, and in these days in politics, you need to be strategic.
No question, my dad.
You know, because if you're not, you're gonna get caught holding the bag. So I believe it was a good announcement, and now she's getting all the endorsements that she really needs. She just got Nancy Pelosi's endorsement today. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, everyone is rallying around her that she needs.
Yep, we'll see how it rolls.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. This text says, as usual, they need to look up for smoking cigarettes. Now, cigarettes bad for your health, and they smell bad, Mr. Lang. Why people smoke cigarettes? Well, on the cigarette carton, it says cigarettes are carcinogenic. You know what that means? Cancer causing. But you smoke as much cigarette as you want. No fine. No jail. Alcohol, we know, is linked to many, many, many problems. Cirrhosis of the liver, diabetes, all kinds of things. You drink as much as you want. Just don't drive. Right? Let me be clear again. I'm not advocating for anything, but I just like rationality to the extent possible with our lawmaking. And I'm sorry, I see some challenges with the approach we are taking here. First of all, either we're going to use the science or we're not. And I would like to know what science is there that says marijuana is bad or any different than alcohol. And yes, the people will say, oh, but yeah, for young people, yeah, but we have laws against young people drinking alcohol. Young people can't buy alcohol. If you as a parent give young people alcohol, you could be prosecuted. Right? So that can't be the reason. I do not. Oh, let me not say, don't say that. What I'm asking is, what is the nuisance that our approach to marijuana is seeking to address? What's that nuisance? Is it marijuana use at all? Well, it can't be marijuana use because we just made it easier to use marijuana and not be prosecuted and have a criminal record. Because all you do is get fined if you have 2 grams or less. If you want more than, 30 grams. If you want more than 30 grams, you just get any kind of any holding of marijuana, any amount for any reason outside of the allowable usage of it for medicinal purposes within the bounds of the law is against the law. Is that not true? I'm asking, is it not true that you cannot be in possession of any amount of marijuana for any other reason than regulated medicinal use if this law comes to pass? The only difference is a certain amount, 30 grams or less, comes with a fine. 30 grams or more comes with prosecution. That could mean jail time. So what are we curing by what we are doing other than to say to a person using marijuana, bro, if you get catch, it ain't gonna be as bad. You won't have a record. And so why though? Because if the marijuana is bad, why don't I want to give you a record for holding it? If it's bad. But it ain't bad. Oh, it's not bad then. Then why are you being fined? is running a red light bad? Somebody please answer me. Is running a red light bad? Why do you get fined for running a red light? Because it's bad. Dangerous. We have a call on the 9. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi. Okay. Not sure what's going on there. Says, imagine if Guardian Radio did Guardian TV Studios and Z Live becomes a TV series. We wouldn't need Fox News. Laugh out loud. You wouldn't need Fox News. You would need Fox News would give you from me. You would need Fox News. Say, you would watch me instead of Fox News. Okay. Say, that's a really good deep question. What makes marijuana so different from tobacco? Like you could legally smoke cigarettes. Police even allow persons to do cigarette in prison. What's so different between weed and cigarettes that makes one worth being illegal while the other is just a fine? Well, you don't get fined for cigarettes. Cigarette smoking is legal. Cigarette possession is legal. You have as much cigarette on you as you want, as far as I know. You don't get arrested for possession of cigarettes or smoking cigarettes. People smoke cigarettes and give themselves lung cancer and all kinds of other issues. And it even says it's carcinogenic. No fine. You could have it in prison. No fine. But marijuana, what is it that we know about marijuana? For children to smoke cigarettes? Anybody? Is it okay for children to smoke cigarettes? This text, I see I don't smoke, but I do question things. These people started vaping, which is deemed harmful. Why is that legal? Can't say you criminalize marijuana for the health of the people because you have many potentially more harmful drugs and things that is legal. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I'm not there yet on the rationality tip with this yet. I'm not there. This says, okay, I get your point. They're trying to dissuade drug dealing. I don't know how drug dealers measure out their products for sale, but I guess if you have a certain amount, it says you don't have that for personal use. And they've come up with 30 grams as the personal use indicator. Okay, first of all, if you are right, and you could be right, that the nuisance is trying to dissuade drug dealers. You think a drug dealer is less incentivized to deal marijuana after this law is passed? Anybody out there believe that? That brethren is going to say, well, listen, man, I'm not going to be selling that much weed no more like that for smoking because, you know, I'm going to go get me a dispensary license I'm going to take the pharmaceutical course that they require me to take so that I could dispense this thing as medical, and I can't get it as a medicine unless it's prescribed to me? And that's going to help my business? No, I don't. It's on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, what's up, Brother Lang?
I'm right here. What's happening?
Now, I want to agree with Dr. Menes. I want to agree with him. The reason why I want to agree with what he said, it helps the government in their revenues. Because, watch this, Mr. Lang, Brother Lang, if you do it the way they want to do it, right, it's still going to happen the same way. You're still going to have fellas them selling it. You're still going to have fellas them smoking it. So if you don't want to do it the way Minna said, just use the recreational, use it for recreational, and at the same time, the persons them what you permit to sell it, you get your tax from them. You tax them. I think it'll be more cheaper that way. That's where the police will have no problem running behind somebody with selling dope, and they could be running behind somebody with murdering people, who raping and robbing and doing all them things, breaking in people's houses and things. And I think it'll be a more fair playground. Now, I don't condone smoking dope. I don't do that. But if you can do something, do it the right way.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
In the United States of America, is opioids controlled drugs?
Uh-huh.
It's controlled, right?
Yeah.
Then why do they have an epidemic of it?
Why do you
think about it. The law actually controls opioid distribution in America.
Uh-huh.
But they still have a epidemic of it. So the law don't stop people from doing stuff. They have an epidemic.
No, the law ain't gonna never stop you from doing what you want to do. Now, what the law does, the law just costs things a little harder.
Yes.
Because, watch this. If I know I could get something free, I ain't gonna be trying to rob this one for it or trying to hide and see where this one stash it. And I could go get it free now. I could just go and buy it. I could go and just sell it, make money over it the same time.
Yeah.
The government getting their little cut off.
Here is why.
Because if they don't do it like that, the government wouldn't get nothing. And the fellas still can be selling it. And they still can be smoking it.
Well, here is why. For the same reason, I have challenges with what the government is doing. What is the scientific evidential basis on which we are making either decision? That's the question.
What is the scientific evidence?
Like, what is, if I believe it's okay to have recreational use of marijuana, what is the scientific basis on which I recommend that to my society or I prescribe that? If I don't believe that recreational use is okay, what's the scientific basis on which I do that? Otherwise, if this is just another political decision we are making, by political I mean, we just, you know, it's a discretion we're exercising as politicians, then okay, then anything goes.
Okay, so I could agree with you to a certain extent, but let me ask you this way. The way they're doing it, the way they say they're going to do it now, right? They say they're giving them the most is what? Three how much? How much gram that is still?
30 gram. Listen now, you all have to be very careful. Holding 30 grams isn't okay under the proposed law. It's just that if you get caught, you will be fined.
Right.
So
they fine you now.
Yeah.
I know that.
So let me ask you a question. Why do you fine people?
You fine people for illegal action.
Doing something wrong, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you get fined if you run the red light?
Well, they supposed to. That's
no, I mean, if you get caught and prosecuted, you'd be fine if you run the red light,
if they
right?
caught you.
Yeah. If that's yeah. what, well, the same thing. If they don't catch you with the 30 grams plus, ain't nothing they could do.
Well, they can't do nothing with that.
Exactly my point. So it's the same yeah. thing for running a light.
Right.
So my point is, something is bad. Now, we mightn't imprison them because we say, well, it's not as bad, but we still think it's bad, though.
Yeah.
So if it's bad, why are we fining you?
So, and if they don't fine them, then what?
See, if you fine me for running a red light, the scientific basis of that is running a red light is dangerous. You run a red light, somebody else might be approaching from the opposite direction, driving on a green light, and you could cause an accident that could cause lives. Tell me what the accident is that caused a life from smoking 30.1 grams of marijuana.
Now, I don't know it by the grams and different things like that, but 31 grams is equivalently to what?
It's a small, it's a little small, little pack.
That's like about that's like a joint?
Maybe a joint.
Huh?
Yeah, probably a joint.
Probably a joint, so mm-hmm. they will fine you for a joint.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm saying why, though? Why? I'm saying,
I don't know why myself.
Okay.
But that, unless they, like they were saying now, they just don't want to criminalize somebody for a joint.
Yeah, I understand. But if you're not criminalizing me for joint, why are you fining me for joint? What is the basis on which you're doing it? What is that rationale? What is
and
the
someone
reason?
Someone said something very powerful concerning that.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're fining me for $250 for a joint, then what if I don't have that $250? What you going to do then?
There you go.
Hello?
There you go. I got you.
Yeah.
We got so another call on. We got another call on the line. Let me see what they're saying. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you calling. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, I'm Celine. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Super.
I don't know what the conversation is about today. Is it an open line or are you talking about one thing in particular?
Well, we were talking about a number of things, but if you have something to say, no problems.
Okay. What's on my mind today? I've been listening and, you know, following up with these murders on a daily basis, right? And I've been hearing persons saying, what good. At least I'm hearing person would have been asking for the Minister of National Security to resign, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it show started this morning.
Mm.
And person was saying the government can't stop murder, the police can't stop murder, and so forth, right?
Mm.
My take is this, Mr. Line, right? They may not could stop it, but there has to be something that... We have a judiciary. Now you can help me with that word. I don't pronounce that too well, right?
Mm.
We have a judiciary system in place, right?
Mm.
Who person would recommend? Who would make recommendation to the government, right? Who would, in terms, would pass, like, for example, right, gun laws?
No, the judiciary.
Right?
Hold on. The judiciary doesn't make recommendation to the government.
No, I don't say they make it. I say persons would make recommendation to them, right?
You mean to the government?
Through the judiciary system.
No, I'm saying I'm saying that's not true.
Okay, how I go? Explain it to me.
Yeah, normally the legislation that comes to parliament either comes because the government members decide, ministries or whatever, this is what they want to have, or the law reform committee decides that the law needs to be updated or something of that nature, or citizens or groups of citizens make recommendations to the government to do so, but the judiciary doesn't make recommendations for law, or people through the judiciary. That does not happen.
It don't happen like that?
No, ma'am, no.
Okay.
The judiciary's job is to interpret the law that the parliament passes.
Oh, so they came in after
They come in after. That's right.
That's
they come
they
in
came
after.
In.
That's right.
Okay. So I say all of that to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
If parliament can change legislation has been released to the law, right?
Yes.
How come we ain't seen that happen?
Yes, you've seen that. You've seen that many times.
I mean,
in respect of these murders and the crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen them amend any number, the penal code and other things in an effort to respond to crime. So that has happened.
Okay, I've seen the amend the bail act, right?
Yeah, but they.
But how about seeing them pass law on these guns?
Which law would you like them to pass? Because right now, murder is a crime, and you can be prosecuted and sentenced to death for it. That's the law today.
You can?
Absolutely.
But how often does that happen?
Well, often it's not really the issue because you cannot sentence someone to death unless the courts sentences them to death.
Yeah,
right.
But the court can sentence them. The court only could sentence them based on what is written, right?
Yeah, but the law permits them to sentence you to death if for murder under the appropriate circumstances.
My whole point about this is when persons are calling for these persons in charge, then they can't do nothing. Okay?
Hmm.
I'm sitting back saying it can't be so. I feel like they could send a strong message because all of these persons who may be getting killed, majority of them are murderers. They're known to the police, but they are our people, our young guys, our mother's children, right?
Well, yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, but you asking the government to do something. You just said that they are our people, our mothers and fathers, children. Well, don't you think the mothers and fathers probably stand a better chance of doing something with them than the law?
Until we get over mothers and fathers stand a better chance, never be no change. Because most of these persons, they don't even have a mother or father.
Okay, but I don't understand. But I don't understand what you want the government to do.
Listen to me.
I don't understand because on the one hand, I just said, don't you think the mothers and fathers stand a better chance of doing something with them?
Than the law.
But you just said these are our children who are being murdered. These are our children who are being murdered. Well, if the law catch them for murdering, and the law does what you want it to do, then they'll be murdered by the government, by the state.
I'm not asking for them to be put to death, you know.
Oh, what you asking for them?
I am saying for gun to be so common in the hands of these people. And to them, it's like nothing.
Possessing a gun is against the law now.
It is, but how much time do we have in jail for possession of guns?
You have lots of people in jail for possession of guns, but you have lots of people with possession of guns who are doing it secretly and sometimes with knowledge of their family.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Mr. Lang. My thing is, we can't as a government, right? Say we can't do nothing. We can't just hold our...
I didn't hear the government say that.
Well, I hear them saying much cheaper. They said that.
I got you.
Okay then. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey. AC Allen. What's up?
Yes. Just Hey, I want to get to the point with you, but what if we just say that you can't have guns unless you have a license for it? But if you got caught with a gun that you don't have a license for, we just give you a fine.
Boy, that'll be something, eh?
That's the same principle, right?
Yeah, that'll be something, eh?
But see, this is where, for me, nonsensical. And I agree with you that we should have the scientific reports to support this decision-making. But the Prime Minister says that we have thousands of jobs.
Oh, I didn't get to that economic part of it yet. Yes, go ahead,
right,
sir.
Yeah, but I definitely believe, I would definitely impact assessment or study, whatever it is that they have, to show this. Because here's the problem, the thing that I see, and listening to the doctors, talking to the doctors, and listening to the pharmacists, there's no more than 8,000 behemoths who would be impacted by the diseases they listed. And probably 90% of them would never be prescribed cannabis. as a first, second, or third solution. It'd be a final solution.
Mm.
So I'm trying to find out, what is the quantity of cannabis we have to grow to support 8,000 people?
Well, why do you have to grow it? You could import it.
That's my point. But see, because here's another point, which Mr. Wayne Monroe made. During the debate before 2021, before he became an MP, he was passionate at a University of Bahamas show on cannabis, explaining that medical cannabis is already legal in the Bahamas at the time, which is still now, and that you simply have to have a doctor prescription. And the fact that the pharmacist at the time said the demand for it was so little, no one buys it to keep it in stock. So you would have to get the prescription, and they would allow it to be already existed. Medical marijuana already existed. So this law didn't bring anything new in. The only aspect of the law now says that it can be produced in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
for medical purposes.
It's been produced in the Bahamas.
For medical purposes.
If you look at the fact that, say, 9 million people, 6 million come by boat for a couple of hours, I don't know how they will come in, get a prescription fill, utilize it, because you can't transport it between jurisdiction on the boat. So that means you can't take the prescription on the boat, whatever else, coming here.
Yeah.
And out of the 3 million people, I don't know how many of those will very specifically come here to take a prescription, because, again, you can't take it back with you to where you're going.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out the science, the economic science behind.
And to your point, by the time as you come to a place where you are using medical marijuana, you are in need of that on a constant basis. So you ain't coming to the Bahamas to pick up a loaf and then go home, as you say. I don't really subscribe to the theoretical notion that you can have a huge economic game changer through medical marijuana or this what is happening. I don't buy that at all. And let me tell you why. The only way that that is possible is if you grow a significant export market for it.
Right. And
that's
this
the only
is where
way.
I say there's something that we're not being told. Because even so, Mr. Lang, we don't, you know, we've been trying to have phytosanitary since 2004. I remember.
You mean the phytosanitary?
And so. And, you know, the quantity. Then you have, unless we set up for you to grow inside, you have a process of cross-contamination of species and streams or whatever it is they call it. But speaking of that, just one thing. Mr. Lang, if you roll a joint with an ounce, that's called a spliff.
Mm-hmm.
A joint typically is about a quarter of a gram.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get like 56 from an ounce of weed.
Right. Yeah. All right, man. I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
All right, thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
All right, guy.
All right.
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead,
Mr.
caller.
Lang.
Hi.
Good to hear you, man.
Likewise, bro. What's up?
Yeah, it seems as though we are heading and wanting to just be unbalanced instead of being balanced. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want clarity anymore. Because it's clear to me, and from when I was much younger, that if you paint your lungs and the air can't get into the alveoli anymore, and you have this black, and you take an X-ray of your lungs, you will clearly see that might not be the lung you want. But we try to satisfy the fact that we could do this in a religious environment and have our lungs look in charcoal. But then that is satisfying the one that we are worshiping. You know, the Christian Council clearly asks the government to provide the evidence. And the evidence is clear. All right? There may be some benefit, and then there's also some side effects, and there's some detriment to the use of cannabis on the whole. Because, you know, you would become addicted to it, and then you become a zombie, you know. So we're going to be looking at zombification on a larger scale.
So let me ask you a question.
Hmm?
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a cannabis-induced zombie in the Bahamas?
A cannabis-induced
zombie.
Man, I could walk right down the street and see one.
You could walk. Let me explain something to you. I live in the Bahamas. and I just go all over the Bahamas. All over the Bahamas. I know weed smoking, bro, brethren. I know, and sisters. I ain't talking about no, I just smoke every now and again. They just smoke on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I never seen no zombie.
What I call zombification is someone who I once knew was a certain way, and they have been altered.
When how old were they when you first came to know them?
Well, when I first came to know, I could think of one individual who was very
how old were they? How old were they?
20, 21.
Okay, so maybe you think they were 21. So they may be one of them young people where you say under 18 years of age, when you start, when your brain is still developing in that way, that smoking weed in significant quantities can have that effect. That's true. So, but that is true for the alcohol drinking young person. That's true for the opioid taking young person. And so forth, right? Person. So
they
I'm
don't
just
talk about the maltodextrin.
Yeah, so I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I understand your point, though. I understand.
But you know, Mr. Lang, is it that the government is just trying to, just because a difference in a milligram could be a fine, and then that's revenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what I'm not presuming what the government is doing. I'm asking the question, and I'm dead serious about the questions I'm asking, because I think what we have to be more vigilant about in the country is legislating and policy making on a evidence-based basis. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So that
but
we can explain,
right,
so that we can explain the people, and people can say, "Oh, okay, I see that." May not agree with it, but I see that.
Yeah. Huh? But obviously, you don't agree.
I can't agree now because I don't have any evidence to support agreement one way or the other.
Well, I could show you someone who one minute he would speak so well to you and so calm, and you would believe that's the thing. He wants to attack you.
And I could take you there, but that could be bipolarism. That don't have to be weed, because I could take you to plenty of weed smoking people
who are very lucid. Smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah, but that could be coincidental. I know weed smoking people who are very lucid. When they high. They down, right? So they don't be maybe live
But you know, Mr. Lang, in order for you to get high, you have to destroy some of your brain cells.
Then
they regenerate, because your liver, when you drink alcohol, your liver could be 95% destroyed and repair itself. But most of us don't realize how destroyed it is already.
Yeah. I don't know. If you could get high off of alcohol, how can that don't destroy your brain cells? How come it don't destroy your brain cells, it only destroy your liver cells?
No, I'm saying alcohol, your liver could be destroyed 95% and still function.
Yeah, but you say when you smoke the weed, it destroys your brain cells.
But
alcohol makes you high?
The alcohol makes you drunk.
Yeah, no.
And to some people, that's a high.
Okay, well, okay. All right.
Okay?
I got you.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Right,
I got you, brother. Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Are you ready to elevate your day with a burst of flavor? Look no further than Dunkin', your ultimate destination for everything delicious. From our freshly brewed coffee that is sure to pick you up, to our signature frozen beverages that will cool you down. And don't forget our mouth-watering sandwiches, made to order all day. Dunkin' has it all. And of course, our lineup of fresh donuts, muffins, and more. Dive into a world of yummy flavors at Dunkin' and bring joy to your day. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over. And our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at hours and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me, mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. According to Statista, which is a statistical website on the internet, the highest use of marijuana in 2020 was by Israel. 27% of adults, of the adult population in Israel, they say, use marijuana. Israel, this is what this is to say. In the United States, it was 17% of the adult population. So let's do a calculation. Let's take Statista's Israel number. The adult population of the Bahamas is roughly 50%. Of the population. So that's 399,000 times 0.5, right? So that is how many adults? That's 199,000 adults, about 200,000 adults. Okay? So that's what we have. So 27% of that population would be 53,865 adults. Now, let's say, what you think? Tell me what you think. Let's say 27 of them. How much weed would they buy if they were buying weed, that this isn't even, no, you know what? Let's say for medical use. Let's say that 53,000 people were spending money on weed for medical use. What do you think that'd be? $100 a month, $200 a month, $300? Let's say $300. So we have 27% of the adult population in the Bahamas buying medical marijuana for $300 a month. That's $300 a month. That's $16 million. Times 12 months. That's $193 million. That's $193 million. That would be what growth of the Bahamian economy? Let's say that would be approximately 1.7 percentage growth of the Bahamian economy that would supply, right? Now, let's say 17% of the people who come to the Bahamas on a regular basis, most of them come by 8 million. So let's say they decide they're going to buy marijuana here for medical purposes, right? That would be 1.4 million people. How much they can pay for their medical marijuana here? These people coming on the boat. The boat now where people spend $100 a day, we are told. Let's say they spend $100 a day. Let's say they spend $100 for the couple days they come in, right? That would be $136 million. So we have $136 million times $193 million. That's $329 million that we could make if 27% of the adult Bahamas, 17% of the tourist population of the Bahamas came and spent the one $300 a month and the other, say, $100 each on their stay. That's $329 million. That's about 3 percentage point growth in the Bahamian economy. How likely is that? How likely is it that you could get 53,000 Bahamians spending $300 a month on cannabis for medical purposes? Not very. Not even close. Not even close. What's the potential size of a cannabis market in the Bahamas if you're relying on this domestic market? I don't see it. Not without recreational use. Not without recreational use. For medical purposes, unless you have a big export market, I don't see it. I'm sorry, I don't see thousands of jobs. I don't. Now, if you have a big export market, okay. I'd buy that to some degree. This text says smoking anything is bad for you, and even smoking ham and turkey, they say it's bad for you. So the fine has no bearing on health or morality. It's about control. Okay, so the fine is about control, and you think that fining somebody $250 for 30 grams or less of marijuana is going to stop them who are smokers of marijuana from buying 30 grams. Them brethren have a fine now that could cause them jail time and smoking weed. Think about that. Control. And I'm not even being malicious in speaking of people who smoke. This is their choice, this decision, and they know it's illegal now and they still smoke. What's a fine going to do compared to the jail time you could get now unless you're smoking? Paul is mixing up drinking with smoking. Drinking is more toxic. I agree with that. Well, yeah. To a point made, there are no weed smoking zombies. Zombification is only found in drunkards. Can't walk, can't drive, can't speak. His text says, Nassauvian Bahamian Nassau is a song I sing for Bahamians, track stars, I'm your son, what? So 3,545 a year to smoke marijuana every day for 1 year. Oscar, Yes, uncontrollable laughter will come to you smoking marijuana. That is a danger to 96.9. Okay. This text, good afternoon and welcome back, Mr. Lang. I suppose it comes down to one's state of mind and the heart of a person, how they view life and behave themselves when confronted with unsavory and unpalatable situations. There are folks who have the good sense to walk away from certain conflicts that others might not have the strength to walk away from. Whether some drink alcohol, use cannabis, doctors prescribe medication, or just being in a natural state of mind, the reality is that some folks are just plain silly and do foolish things without thinking or without using any kind of mind-alerting or mind-altering substances. That's true. Very well said. Thank you. This text says, the reason why drug dealers deal with marijuana is because it's not taxed. If government legalized marijuana, these drug dealers ain't going to be as into it. They're doing crack because then you can just buy it from the store like cigarettes. It's 30 grams, small amount, yep. Say a drug dealer needs to only carry on or sell 1 ounce to sell at a time, or a street dealer can carry 60 joints, 0.5 grams per roll, and say they pre-rolled for self-consumption. How and where does one get 30 grams of a drug, non-medical cannabis, that is still illegal for persons to possess and to sell? You can't buy from licensed businesses, as they will be monitored for cannabis. Let's take our final break, pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Attention, Bahamas. Embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter One. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Join us in helping to support the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. When doing your shopping at Janae's Uniform Center, just drop your coins or more in the special donation box.
You can also help by donating medicines, books, and more.
Visit the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel directly, or you can donate online at bceh242.org or call 361-4124 or 807-6155.
I thank you for helping us.
The Bahamas Children, together we can make a difference. Join us in helping to support the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. When doing your shopping at Janae's Uniform Center, just drop your coins or more in the special donation box.
You can also help by donating vitamins, snacks, medicines, books, and more.
Visit the Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel directly, or you can donate online at bceh242.org or call 361-4124 or 807-6155.
I thank you for helping us.
The Bahamas Children's Emergency Hostel. Together, we can make a difference.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. The Christian Council has, I think, a clear position on the matter. The Christian Council says we don't support any marijuana, no way, no form, no legalizing any form of quantity of it. They endorse the medical use of it, right? That's where they stand. They're clear on that. My contention remains the same, which is use it recreationally, don't do it legalize it for recreational use, don't legalize it for medicinal use, don't legalize it for medicinal use. On what basis? What's the basis? Who are the basis? What's the basis on which we do it? What set of data, research study? Well, you can follow other people, or you can just listen to what the crowd's saying and say, go do that. Marijuana is a plant. Right? It's a plant. It grows in nature. And like many plants, effect on you. Some good, some bad. How do we know plants? Any plant has an effect on us. How do we know what berries are poisonous? We have scientific information that tells us, yeah, you don't want to do that. What's the information outside sometimes of the skewed motivation of some time ago to demonize marijuana and cause it to be in the state it's in now in terms of how people perceive it? What is the current body of information telling us about it? I can tell you when we come back another time what I have observed and seen from that body of information so far. Am I going to smoke marijuana? No, sorry, Bob. Am I suggesting anybody smokes marijuana? No, sorry, Bob. What I am suggesting is when the government comes to bring legislation, particularly of this nature, it should have a basis for doing things the way it seeks to do it. And I am just saying, I am not satisfied that I've seen sufficient basis yet. That's all I'm saying. Says the plant in question has been criminalized because of its street value and ease of production. Growing a plant is much easier than creating those cancer sticks on a vapor pen. I see it being criminalized for monetary reasons. Okay. Texas, Mr. Lang, you have given us an interesting perspective that many, many, many have overlooked. It seems the legalization of medical cannabis is simply a ploy for the government and their associates to get monetary benefits, because if cannabis is good, then legalize it, and if it's bad, then criminalize it. Can't be halfway in and halfway out. I don't know about any motivation to get money for anybody and their associates. At all. I certainly am not advocating that, but I do believe that the rationale is not yet clear to me. Say, okay, a laugh from marijuana smokers. Do you think Lil Wayne is still saying bling bling? I say different, different. No, I'm not to change my... Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shafak Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.